good girl. Love the mess, I watch the swirl of smoke from candles burning. While Mary looked up yearning, I got confirmed and I confessed. I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I love my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age, and all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big taboo. I'm letting go, oh God. Letting go, oh God.
You're listening to WOZO LPFM 103.9 live in Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm Doubter 5, and today we have a guest with us, Ty Wells, via the phone. Say hi, Ty.
Good to be back. It's the Wonder. I remember talking about all the stuff we have in our list today. It's going to be a good show.
Yep. This is an atheism radio show, and we'll be talking about atheism, free thought, humanism, rational thought, and science. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. We hope you'll stay tuned in for this hour, and if you feel the urge, call in and discuss the issues with us. The call-in line is 865-333-5937. That's 333-5937. And despite what Steve Martin would have you think, there are an awful lot of atheist songs, and you'll hear some of them right here on this program and generally on the station. We'll also be talking about the atheist and rationalist groups that reside here in Knoxville and how you can connect with them. And did you know that we have an atheist television show broadcasting right here in Knoxville? Did you know that, Ty?
Yes.
Yes.
I completely forgot about that. It's been
been going for over 6 years. That's right. And we'll be talking about that as well. Today's topic is some unsettling truths about religion. And shall we get started, Ty?
Unsettling truths about religion. Okay.
Some of the things, well, first of all, there was a video on YouTube by Science Net, I think it was, Science Tech, Science Net, I can't remember. But anyway, they had some unsettling truths about religion, and I watched it, and that gave me an idea. So I came up with about a total of 9 that we can discuss today. Things that
wait
are not...
Doubter 5. You're telling me you have spent time on the YouTubes, and that was what you were looking at?
Excellent.
I can direct you to some great cat videos if you're ever interested.
Well, I need to have some of those. I've only watched a million since, I don't know, 2 years. But I can always use more cat videos.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind. Looking at those. So what did you find out?
I found out that there are things that are unsettling and true about religion. Nobody really disputes these things. But they don't take them seriously, apparently. They don't take them to heart. They don't really think about them. Like the fact that the claims of religion, some of the claims in the Bible, are factually wrong and at odds with scientific...
So when you're saying religion, are you specifically referring to Christianity, or do you mean all religions?
Well, and I'd say the Bible, the Quran, most holy books who have fantastic tales about how their deity has transgressed the laws of physics. We would have to believe that it was more likely that these people were telling the truth about an entity breaking laws of physics than they were about maybe just exaggerating or creating a myth or telling a story. And which one would be more likely?
So you're talking about like some of the bigger players that all have supernatural claims that don't have the evidence to demonstrate that they are in fact true. Is that pretty close?
Yes, and that the claims fly in the face of nature, fly in the face of all we know about the physical laws of the universe.
About the physical laws of the universe. Mm-hmm. Give me an example.
Well, walking on water. A man can't walk on
water.
Hey,
I just came back from ice skating today. It's possible.
Yeah, that's a different thing, though. That's ice, though, isn't it? A man is more dense than water. A man is more dense than water, so he can't walk on water. It's more likely.
Okay. I didn't know this. This is amazing. So when someone says they can walk on water, and they're not referring to ice or the gaseous form. They're talking about liquid.
Mm-hmm.
Are you telling me science says that's not possible?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
But it's in the Bible. It has to be true. Yeah.
Not only that, but you can't just separate a sea into two halves and let people walk between it. It's not possible.
Well, what if it was just an issue of faith? If you read the Bible, it says you can raise mountains or destroy fig trees.
Well, the thing about
hard enough.
The thing about faith is
there's a rule right there.
I'm sorry.
Oh well, there's the rule right there. It says it's totally possible in the book.
Well, no, that's just that. That's what I'm saying. If it goes against the laws of physics, the laws of nature, the universal laws, then it can't have happened.
So are there any laws of physics regarding faith or praying
space?
Or anything like that?
No, no, no.
Can science or physics be applied to that at all?
Okay, faith. The problem with faith is you can believe anything that you want to with faith. You can believe any religion. Any religion is true. Any claim is true. Anything you want to, you can just force yourself basically to believe that it's true. But that doesn't make it true.
It doesn't have any... Bible. That doesn't sound scientific to me.
I'm sorry about the Bible. What?
Oh, if the claim can't be disproven, or if something can't be proved wrong, or like shown to... given a negative control where it can be demonstrated to give a result you didn't want. Like, basically, if I can have faith in everything and not in anything, then it's not falsifiable. If it's not falsifiable, it's not scientific.
Right.
The other principle in science that's called falsibility, and what's great is, yes, answers, things that tell you yes or positive confirmations are good, but negative confirmations are just as good. And if you only have positive confirmation, you really don't know what you're dealing with. And if you only have negative, you still don't know. You need a mix of the two to have a better, accurate understanding of what you're looking at. It's kind of like having a picture, taking a picture that's black and white, where it's only white that you have on a paper. If you only have white, you can't see anything. If you only have black, you can't see anything. But if you have white and black, you can get contrast, you can get shadows. And that adds to a resolution of what you're looking at.
Right.
And the same is true for whether something can be justified or unjustified.
Right.
And if I'm justified in believing anything in faith, then it's utterly a non-falsifiable method, which doesn't make it very reliable to determine what's true.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that you'll hear from preachers and priests alike, and imams and all those, is that they'll say, let's pray for this and see if it happens. If it happens, then maybe we'll give credence to your claims. Well, the first thing they'll say is, God doesn't do tests, which is, just throw it out the window because we're not going to be tested.
What?
Yeah.
You can't test God. What is this?
Yeah. Oh, have you heard?
That's also a bad thing, too.
Have
like,
you heard
you can't
can?
Test it? How do you know it's true? Or how do you know it's worth being followed?
Right.
You know, it's a big deal because, your belief in what happens to your body, your belief that condones all of your actions from here on out for the rest of your life, that's the biggest choice you can make. And if you're going to make that kind of a choice, you need to have a pretty good understanding of how you can test whether or not that choice is reasonable or not, or if it's worth making that choice or not.
Yeah, that's so true.
If you're justified in making it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's true or not,
Right. No, I mean, a lot of people, I don't have faith in anything. I have general knowledge that things work and the things that I rely on work. And they say, well, you have faith in your wife. Well, sure, I have faith through years of experience. You have faith. They'll say you have faith in your brakes, that you've touched your brakes. You know, they're going to stop your car. Yes, I do, because of years of experience and testing.
So if it's not a good idea to judge something or to choose to believe something that defies physics based on faith, what if I said, well, in the Bible, there's multiple eyewitness testimony of Jesus walking on water, for example? What would you say to that?
Well, it's a story. I mean, it's nothing more than a story in a book. You have eyewitness testimony that Harry Potter could wave his magic wand and make things float. Is that... that's how eyewitness testimony. Well, sure it is, but it's anecdotal evidence. It's a story in a book.
It's not good evidence. Not compelling evidence.
No, it's not.
Even if you want to call it evidence, it's not very compelling. You
have
a couple of characters say they saw it.
Right. Let's say that you had your mother come into the house and she told you that little Jimmy was out in the pool and he walked all the way across the pool. Well, one thing, You probably wouldn't believe her. You would think she was joking.
I know that.
You would think that she's playing a joke on you, whatever. But the thing about it is, you know her. She's your mother. You have every reason to trust her. But you also know about the rules of the universe and the physical laws. Now, the thing about this, the people in the Bible, we don't know anything about the authors of the Bible. We don't know who wrote it. We don't know when they wrote it. We don't know, anything about them. But people believe them implicitly.
How crazy is that?
I'm sorry?
We don't even know their last names.
We don't know their first names. They are attributed. they are attributed.
We don't know anything about these guys.
Right, we don't know anything about, and that's just the New Testament. When we're talking about the Old Testament and the miracles of the Old Testament, like the flood and the parting of the Red Sea and all those, we know even less. There were stories from antiquity, and to give them the credence of truth.
You're talking about breaking laws of physics, and you're going all the way to, I think, like the start of Deuteronomy, or at least late Genesis, to the splitting of the sea. Mm-hmm. When in the very, very first chapter, there's a talk of the snake. And I'm wondering, why are we overlooking that?
Right. Well, I'm not. It's just one of those things. It's not one of the things that popped into my head.
There's a lot to choose from. And that really seems to be, I think the color, the last time I was on the show, it was a color that was just basically laid out as in, your book has a talking snake in it, like volume one. Fix that, and then maybe I'll start trying to take it seriously after that.
Yeah, and get their Genesis stories.
I'm not on board.
Right, and even get their Genesis stories straight. One and two are different.
Yep.
So,
different. Also, they're based on a completely separate book, so before we get into stuff like that, there's a lot of jank involved, and so it's good to know why you believe things. It's good to make sure what you believe in is true. And if it defies physics, like as we know it today, because we have a pretty good understanding of it. If I'm calling you over the phone and you're talking over a radio and this is being broadcast at all, I'm not sure. We have a pretty good idea how physics works.
Right.
And if people believe things that are counterintuitive to that, doesn't necessarily mean that if they're wrong, but they should have a certain healthy amount of skepticism to it.
Right.
And that's all we're asking that they apply to any kind of faith system that involves not believing things that we can actively demonstrate with science.
Well, even David Hume, 200 years ago, or was it 300 years ago, knew better than to accept miracle claims. He said we would have to give more credence to the breaking of physical laws than we would that the teller of the tale was exaggerating or outright lying. And that doesn't make any sense.
So you're saying we have to take that metaphorically?
No, what I'm saying is, if somebody comes to you with a claim of something miracle happens, say like the miracle of Guadalupe, where many people claim to have seen the sun dance around in the heavens. Well, if that happened, it would wreck the earth physically.
Right.
You know, and there are a lot of people said it didn't happen. Some people said that they just changed colors, it didn't move. So we have all these contradicting stories. The person we're listening to said it danced around. We can discount that because, one, people lie, people exaggerate, they make up stories, and two, physical laws aren't broken. I mean, nobody else on the earth experienced any tremors or any changing of light or anything like that. Just a group of people on the hillside staring into the sun. So, you can throw that miracle out the window.
There's a trend of what you're talking about. We call it, in our field, Occam's razor.
Uh-huh.
Occam's razor is more or less like the most simplest answer that makes the least amount of assumptions tends to be the most right one.
Yeah.
It's not a 100% claim that that's going to be the case. But what it is more or less an observation that when you have two different competing ideas, and one involves assuming, say, for example, an all-powerful entity or a dancing sun that causes no other geothermal or gravimetric effects on the planet, gravitational effects, I'm sorry, and then you have another case or another competing idea where it's just people are lying. It tends to be the case that the more simple of the two answers tends to be the more one that you should have more confidence in, if anything.
Right. Well, we should probably move on to the next number two, since we have nine to get through, and we spent 15 minutes on the first one. We probably should.
No way! Okay. Yeah. All right. I have so much things to talk about this first one. That's a good first point. All right, keep going.
The second unsettling truth about religion is that the morals of the Holy Book are bad morals. And if you open the Bible, if you open the Bible or the Quran or many of the holy books of the world, you find out that they're pro-slavery, that they advocate death for many minor things, for like working on Sunday or children disrespecting their parents. You should stone to death women who are non-virgins on their wedding nights. The book even advocates forcing women to marry their rapist. Not to mention,
or stoning them to death if they don't scream out loud while being raped.
Yeah, right. It says in the Bible that the rapist needs to pay the father of the girl 50 shekels in silver and then marry her. This is all a property game.
The rapist, you're looking at it all wrong. You know, the Bible also is against stealing things. It's against cheating on your wife. Why don't you just look at the good things and forget the bad stuff?
Yeah. Well, it's all about women or property, and that which is another real problem.
No. Just look at the good stuff, and don't bother reading Deuteronomy. It's all about just what the Ten Commandments say. If you just follow the Ten Commandments, you're totally fine.
Yeah. Oh, it's not the Word of God?
I'm saying we only need to listen to the Ten Commandments and what Jesus said. Yeah. And that's basically it.
And what your preacher tells you. And the things a preacher says on Sunday, right?
Yeah, I bet if you go to your average person and you ask them what's in Deuteronomy 22:23-27, they won't know.
Yeah.
But if you tell them, hey, can you name some of the Ten Commandments, even if they can't name them all,
right.
The first four are basically the same rule, they'll say, yeah, don't steal, don't kill people, don't cheat on your wife. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone knows more or less those basic three rules from the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And those are bad.
Right.
So are you saying there's no good morals in the whole
book? No, I'm saying any book you pick up, you'll find some good morals and some bad morals. It just seems to have predominantly bad ones in the Bible.
There's some pretty bad ones in there.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
Death to non-believers, death to homosexuals, et cetera, et cetera. It just goes on and on.
And death
to witches. He would, according to the Bible, we should take all the people who are in Wiccan religion and just outright kill them.
Sure. Yeah. Really, if you follow the Quran, it's any non-believer is basically at odds with Allah, and they are not protected as well as believers in any text.
They're worthy of death.
Where they outright state, considering that the Quran was in a time when Muhammad was at war with people, but there's funny that a lot of people still take that literally to think that they're at war with people who are non-believers.
Right.
And it's an unsettling thing. Just to make another point on that, we're getting to the point where Islam and Quran and Muslims in general are becoming more prominent key figures in the news. We're making the point here that, the religion of Islam, the religion that's inside the Quran, is reprehensible, and it has a lot of terrible things regarding human rights.
Uh-huh.
But the people that believe it can be generally good people, and be very, very much in the mindset of peace and manage their own business. And it's the same case with Christianity. There's some terrible, terrible, horrible things in the Bible, to the point where it's disgusting, especially against women's rights, rights against standard humanity, but Christians as a whole can be generally good people. So we're going to say some things.
We as a society have tamed the religions. I've always said that Muslims and Christians alike could be worthy, successful, productive citizens of the society in direct response and direct proportion to how far they leave their fundamental teachings of their religion behind.
Exactly. I agree absolutely. I also think that as a consequence of living in a multicultural society like America, we have Muslims and Christians working side by side with each other. When they go home and there's no holy war going on because their holy books advocate to go at war with each other, when they just respect each other and go home, they're at complete odds with their religious beliefs, but they are better people for it.
Yeah. Let me give out the phone number again. This is a Atheist Call-Ins show. This number is 865-333-5937. That's 333-5937. We'd be happy to hear from you. The line is open. Shall we move on to the next line? Unsettling truth.
How are we doing on time?
Yeah, that one only took 5 minutes. And yeah, the morals, there are an awful lot of bad morals in the Bible. I mean, we could spend a whole hour on that. But
are bad morals, there are good morals too, but why would a God go both in his main book? Shouldn't it just be the good ones?
Sure.
If you could find one bad one you don't agree with, shouldn't that be the alarm that you need to start looking at your holy book a little bit more carefully?
It's even called the good book, even though it's full of these terrible things.
You know, the Quran has the same thing, too. There are a lot of terrible things in that. That book condemns slavery. That book condemns taking people as war prizes, specifically the women, and enslaving the non-believers or killing them outright, and then turning the women into your wives, where you can have large congregations with multiple wives.
That's the Bible does, too.
Surah number 4 is it's the Surah of the Lamb. It's in the very first book. Yeah. Well, not the very first book. It's in the second book, because the first book says praise the Lord. If you can read that and you have to twist what the context is of that rule in black and white, if you have to twist that, something saying it's okay to take slaves to, well, it's only okay to take slaves back then, or well, it was justified back then, if you have to do that kind of tap work or tap dance around that black and white rule, consider the fact that you may be a better, more person to judge than that book that you're reading itself, or the guy that's supposedly judging you.
Right.
Maybe you are a better tool for determining what's right and wrong.
Yeah. Okay, getting into the next one. The third unsettling truth about religion is their salvation, what they offer you, is a gun-to-the-head offer to counter a sin done by someone else. Adam, let's say. You're hard-pressed enough to account for your own sins or transgressions against your neighbor in this world, but religion says that every single person born into the world is a downright sinner, a bad person, and needs to be punished forever. And the only way out of it is to follow their religion, believe what they tell you, and do what they say. It's a gun-to-the-head offer by someone who's supposed to love you unconditionally.
You remember those door-to-door salesmen? I don't know if you ever had this happen to you, but when we were growing up, we would have a person knock on our door, and you would open up the door, and there would be a guy in a suit, and the first thing he does is throw a bunch of dirt on your carpet.
Yeah.
And it's like the craziest thing. It's like, what did you just do? It's like, I have an offer for you. I'm here to sell you a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to show you in this demonstration. And at that point, you can't throw them away because you have this huge clump of dirt on your floor.
Yeah.
But now you're letting a strange person into your home who's going to just continue to sell you more stuff that you never wanted in the first place.
Right.
And it kind of reminds me of the religious approach where, hey, did you know you have a problem? Yeah. I didn't know I had a problem. Yeah, you are a sinner and you're going to die and burn forever in eternity in hell. Like, I didn't, well, we're going to wear this. Well, don't worry, we have a cure for you.
Yeah.
If you're storing the poison and giving the cure at the same time, you're still a problem.
Right. It's like the old mafia thing, you know, making you an offer you can't refuse. That's a nice soul you got there. Be a shame if anything happened to it.
And oh, yeah, it's terrible.
I tell you, it's already doomed.
So it's kind of like you're doomed if you say yes or you're doomed if you say no, until you realize that maybe what they're offering isn't even, maybe what the disease is doesn't even actually exist.
Right.
Maybe there is no such thing as, you know, hell. Maybe my actions of how I treat people, I just need to be aware of how the consequences of my actions affect others. Mm-hmm. And just try to be a better person that way, rather than following some long list or doctrine that someone else came up with, where I have to give up 10% of my paycheck. I can be perfectly happy taking care of people and giving money away to charities, or just keeping it to myself and being a good, productive member of society.
Yeah.
But I don't have to be motivated to be good just because I have a gun to my head.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right. Not only that, but you can get an awful far way along the road to morality just by practicing human empathy and compassion. don't cause those cars harm. Minimize harm. Try to imagine your neighbor is wanting the same things in life that you want, and help him out, and he'll help you out, and it makes for a better society. This religion, what it does is just divide us down the middle against each other on imaginary lines.
And inherently, they're both two selfish practices, whether you're doing good for God or you're doing good just so that society can continue on and be healthy. Right. They're both selfish interests, because I don't want to live in a society that falls apart. So I'll be good to my neighbors, hoping that they'll be good back to me, because I benefit from that.
Yeah.
But if you believe in God, you're being good only so that you can get rewards. You're going for that carrot on the stick. Mm-hmm. So they're both inherently selfish, but one takes into mind the other welfare of people around
you. Right, compassion.
And not just where their soul goes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I've been on the end of a conversation where people have said, hey, well, have fun, you're going to hell, or not going to hell, but like, I'm just worried about your soul, because it sounds like you're talking about something that I wouldn't want to put myself in.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, that's a wholly selfish position to put yourself in. It's like, you only care about yourself and your welfare of your imaginary soul, or your soul that you truly do believe in. If you really truly cared, if you truly cared about the welfare of other people, don't just extend it to just me. Extend it to every single person around you, and consider what it would be like if we all lived in society where we all took up the same rules of the doctrine that you have. What would that kind of society look like? Would it be better?
Right.
Or would it change at all? Well, we didn't have God in it.
We have examples like that. We have atheistic societies in the world. What is it, Denmark, Sweden, Finland, Scandinavian countries are socialist, liberal, atheist countries, and they're prospering. They have lower crime rates, low drug use, low teen pregnancy. By all the guidelines of a prosperous society, they transcend all of the religious countries of the world. And we're at the bottom of the hour. I think I probably need to take a break and play a song.
All right.
And this is WOZO-LP-FM 103.9, live in Knoxville, Tennessee. You're listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour with Ty Wells and myself, Larry Rhodes. And we're gonna play a couple of messages, listen to a song, and we'll be right back. Hold on.
If you live in or around the Knoxville area and are questioning your religious beliefs, or simply believe in one less God than everyone else, well, you're not alone. The Atheist Society of Knoxville is a fun and friendly group of people just like you that meets twice a week at a bar or restaurant. We meet every Tuesday night following the show at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria for happy hour. You'll find our group either inside or on the patio. Look for Richard Dawkins' silver-jacketed book, The God Delusion, standing upright on the table. But if you plan to preach, proselytize, provoke, or punch, please don't. We all question what we believe at one point in our lives. If this is the time for you, come join us for food, drink, conversation, and fun.
Thank you. sign to let me know he had. And I wouldn't mind that he couldn't find the time. It's just that now my heart longs for things that probably don't exist. But now I think I see this for what it is.
Talking snakes laughable? Do you prefer the scientific method over supernatural beliefs? Are you concerned about religious leaders and organizations imposing their values and rules on your body, your family, and the rest of our society? Well, take comfort in the fact that you're not alone. The Rationalists of East Tennessee meets weekly for fellowship and provides a forum for people who support skeptical thinking and rational discussion of these and other issues. To find out more information or to find out about our next meeting, visit us on the web at www.rationalist.org.
And we're back. This is Larry Rhodes, Doubter 5, and Ty Wells, the Wombat. And this is WOZOLP 103.9 FM live in Knoxville, Tennessee. And you're listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I have a website. It's called Digital Free Thought. If you'd like to go to it, it's digitalfreethought.com. I also have a blog where I talk about an awful lot of the things that we're discussing tonight. And be more than happy to have you drop by and read some of that stuff. I've also collected my articles into a book. It's available on Amazon. It's Atheism, What's It All About? By Larry S. Rhodes. And I think we also need to talk about the groups here in Knoxville for just a minute. You heard an ask message and an RET message during the commercial break. By the way, that was The Easy Confidence by Quiet Company, if you're wondering what that song was. And I also mentioned earlier that we had a TV show here in Knoxville. It's an atheist TV show. It's a call-in show where you can watch the show, give them a call, and discuss pretty much any free thought or religious topic that you want to talk to them about. And that's on every Tuesday at 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock, and Community Access TV here in Knoxville. It's Comcast Channel 12. You can also watch it on, I can never remember the other broadcaster. 196 on the other channel, the other broadcast. I can't think of it. Anyway, we also have a Tuesday night meetup. After the show, people always go down to Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria in the Old City in Knoxville for fun, food, drink, and conversation. We're usually there from about 5:30 to 8:30 or so. And just look for the liveliest group at the biggest table in the main bar area, and we'll be having beers and pizza and just having a good time. Most of the time we have a silver jacketed copy of The God Delusion standing upright on the table. So if you see that, stick out your hand, shake your hand, sit down, and we'll be more than happy to have you with us. But if you plan to preach, proselytize, provoke, or punch, please don't. Okay, we left off of our list. We were discussing some unsettling truths about religion. Shall we return to the list?
What's next?
The next thing I'd like to talk about is that religion, generally Christianity, maybe others, uses emotional control and abuse on its members. If you've ever been in an abusive relationship with another person, what is it they tell you? They tell you that you're bad and that you're nothing without me. You must do what I say or I'll make you sorry. You must love me no matter what I do. And I don't want to hurt you, but I will. Which is exactly the same thing that Christianity tells you. You're bad. You're born bad. You're born a sinner. You're nothing without God. You have to do what he says or he'll make you sorry. And you must love him no matter what he does, no matter what it says in the Holy Book, no matter what kind of a monster he comes off as in the Holy Book, you still have to love him. And if you don't love him, he will hurt you. And he doesn't want to, but he will, which is just the same as you would get in some kind of awful, emotional, abusive relationship. But people don't see that unless it's pointed out to them, which is why I pointed it out to them.
Sure. It also brings the question of, you know, if whatever God that we're talking about, which is perfect, which they tend to claim they are perfect, let's say they are perfect, and let's say that we as people are not perfect, why would a perfect being ever want to have a relationship with something that's unperfect? Does that make sense?
Right.
It essentially draws that perfect being away from perfection because he's trying to commune with imperfection. And either that God's no longer as perfect, or why does it make us in the first place? I think by the fact of us existing and us being not perfect should be a demonstration in itself that the God that we're working with is not perfect. And on the last point, it's really hard to have a relationship with someone who claims to be perfect. It's really, really hard. If anyone's ever had a boyfriend or girlfriend like that, it's like you would never want to be around someone, take someone out to a drink, that they claim to literally be the most perfect being in existence. That mm-hmm. is a really hard sell as a first date.
Yeah, but they love you anyway.
But they love you anyway. It's like, oh, that's great. Yeah. Not really interested. You're kind of out of my league.
Yeah.
I'm more interested in people yeah. that I can actually get along
But it's a gift you have to be extremely grateful for to them.
Sure, yeah. It's like, hey, you know, I'm perfect. I need you to love me every day. And if you don't, I'm going to burn you in hell. But don't worry, you're trash. But if mm-hmm. you're good by virtue of me loving you,
right.
and isn't that great? It's like, no, that's yeah. terrible. This is a horrible relationship. I want to get out of here.
Yeah. Yep, and that's what's one of the things that's always made me uncomfortable around the religious people is that, you know, they have this, I'm trash, but God loves me anyway, you know, I'm that type of thing. And they're not trash. They're good people.
I've got a homework. Yeah, they're good people, absolutely. But I have a homework assignment for anyone who's listening. If you actually attend church and you have that big, thick book of hymns that you sing more or less every day or maybe every other church practice, done nothing without you. You served us. We need you. We need you. Please come. You are the greatest person who are home. Imagine if that wasn't God and it was like your plumber named Steve or something. Would you still, would that book still sit with you as comfortably with all the things that you have to say regarding your plumber Steve compared to how you accept it just because it's God?
Right.
Does that change it anything?
And, while you're in there looking around, look at all the songs that are gory, like I am washed in the blood of God, you know, that type of thing. It's it's horrible.
Scary stuff in there.
Yeah, it's terrible. And if you're Catholic, it's even worse. You believe in transubstantiation. When you take the wafer and the wine, you literally have to believe that it's the body and blood of Jesus Christ. You're actually committing cannibalism. And for the Baptists, it's not as bad. Or the Protestants, you know, they do it symbolically. But still, that's symbolic cannibalism. Think about what you're doing. Okay, moving on. We have several on the list here and not a lot of time.
That's a great point, by the way. Yeah. That's a really great point.
Yeah. Some unsettling truths about religion.
Unsettling truths about religion! Unsettled.
And that's undisputed. I mean, people, even religious people, realize that what I'm saying here in these lists is true. Religion relies on indoctrination to get children to be believers before they can understand and question what it is being told to them. They're brainwashing children. Now, believers will think that it's necessary because they don't want them to go to hell. But they were brainwashed themselves to believe that hell is real and that souls are real and that they're in danger and that sin is real. All of these things have never been proven to exist. Think about how long that man has been walking this planet and killing each other and doing autopsies and stuff. Never, not once, have they ever found a soul or anything that even like a soul. And never have they ever detected. And even with all the up-to-date scientific apparatus that we have nowadays, you hear anecdotal evidence. Well, sure, people will tell each other that things are real just to support their belief system. But never has science come up with anything resembling a soul. And the only way that you or I can ever see intelligence exist is when it has a hardware base like a brain or a computer chip. Intelligence can't just float around in the atmosphere. Energy is far different than intelligence and agency.
So why do you think parents teach their kids about these things?
They're afraid. It's a fear-based religion. You've got to do anything and everything that you need to do to keep from going to hell, or at least keep your soul from going to hell, which is the same thing.
So they generally believe it, and they want their kids to know it so that they can hopefully believe it too, and that hopefully gets them on the same boat.
Right.
The alternative, let's talk about the alternative real quick, because we never really got into that much. You know, if you come through this from an atheist perspective, and say I'm a genuine believer, say, hey, you know, I have to believe that there's a hell. I have to believe that there's a bad that will punish me. I have to believe that there's going to be hell to pay, literally, or like punishment to pay if I ever transgress against the laws in this holy book. Mm-hmm. But here's the point. But here's the catch. I'm totally good with God. I'm totally fine with doing my prayers. I'm totally fine with paying a little bit of tithe or like going to church Easter Sunday and Christmas. I'm cool with that. I'll tell my kids to believe it too. And now I'm square. My insurance is paid for. I don't have to worry about it anymore. Mm-hmm. But if an atheist comes to me and says, I have to forget all of that because scientifically, blah, 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 there's no soul, blah, 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 there's no God, I'm still stuck in the boat where I lose all the investment that I put into my religious belief.
Right.
And I don't even have a good place to go when I die. And my kids don't have a good place to go when they die. And then they have questions I can't answer at this moment. Isn't it just better? What's the selling point? Why should I ever change my position if I tend to believe that? It's just more comfortable for me to believe that.
Well, you're saying that you lose your investment. Well, yeah, it's like let's say that you're, it's hard to come up with an example, but let's say that you've been paying your neighbor for the use of his car for, 10 years. and then you turn out,
sure.
You find the deed, and it's in your name. Would you continue to pay the guy?
No.
What I'm saying is, you own your life. It's not held hostage by someone else. There is, unless you can prove that a soul exists, you don't have to worry about where it goes after you die. And not only have they never proved a soul exists, they never proved sin, they never proved that heaven and hell or any other place that you go to after you die, they never proved any kind of afterlife. This is all a shell game sold to you by the church so that they can get your money in this life and control you in this life.
I think you get a fantastic point by saying, you know, if I was paying money to my neighbor for essentially what was my car, why would I continue doing that? Because I own my own car,
right.
Why am I paying for it to someone else? And it's the same case with God. You own your own life. You don't have to pay anyone any kind of lip service.
Right.
And here's the best part. I think maybe this could be a silver lining. Let's say you didn't believe, you didn't jump through the hoops, you didn't listen to your Bible, but you still were a good person, you still weren't inclined to hurt anybody, you still lived your life in a really nice way where people loved you, and if you pass away, you're finally remembered by the people you love.
Right.
If a God doesn't like that, like if a God actually demands that you need to be praised at all times, that's probably not a God that you want to spend an eternity with anyway.
Right.
And if a guy was going to punish you for living a really good life, or you just good for the sake of being good, if he's going to punish you for that, that's not a God that is worth worshiping. But if your God is good, he will genuinely see that, hey, you know, this is a good person. Maybe I didn't supply the right kind of ration or evidence that for someone to be justified in believing me, but you're still good. I'm still going to put you in a good spot. Then you're covered. You're fine.
Right.
At the end of the day, living a good life for the sake of living a good life, for the sake of being good to other people, for the sake of being good to other people, is the best way of going about it. Rather than committing yourself to a certain doctrine that might make you have some, what do we call it? Unfavorable, uneasy belief, or belief that will put you at unease.
I'm not coming up with it.
What was the topic of this show?
Oh, essentials? Hold on. Unsettling truths about religion.
Yeah, so being good for the sake of being good is sometimes better than being good for the sake of establishing unsettling beliefs
right.
in your life,
just
for the sake of not being afraid of not being punished or being punished by a perfectly good God.
Right. True. Okay, some other unsettling truths about religion we have on our list is that it's based on authoritarianism. Rather than rationalism. And I'm going to combine
those. What do those two terms mean? I don't have a dictionary in front of me.
Well, authoritarianism is basically when you're arguing with your parent and your little kid, and you say, but why, Mommy, why can't I go out to my buddy's house? And they'll say, because I said so. That's not a good reason. There's no logic to it. It's just authoritarianism. It's saying, you can't go because I said so. And that's what religion comes down to. It's a book of rules that doesn't give you any reason for the rules, but it just enforces them on pain of death and suffering.
Well, sure, it says do it because I said so, but what if that person was actually an authority on the field? For example, what if there was like a boat that was sinking and the captain says, get off this boat, I'm the captain, I know how this boat works. Everybody get off now, I'm not going to explain it to you, I'm the captain, get off the boat.
Now,
you're saying because he's an expert, right?
Right, well you may be confusing authoritarianism with expertise. Now, I go to my doctor and he says, you've got cancer and you need to do this, this, and this, you know, I'm going to follow his advice. But if he says, you're sick, I'm a doctor, you need to do this, this, and this, because I say so, see the difference there? You don't want to go that route. You want to have good reason and good rationalism for the things that you do. You need to understand the reasons why you do things. And that brings me to number 8, I think I have on list. It says...
before we get to that, though, why is it important for you to know why you need to do things? What's at stake?
Well, because you are responsible for your own life. You're responsible for your own happiness. You don't want to give that over to someone else and say, okay, take over my life. You want to be the one making your decisions about your welfare, your health, and your happiness going forward. And if you don't have if you don't have good reasons to do the things that you're doing, then you basically turned that over to somebody else. Your preacher, your imam, the government, police officer, whatever. Now he does have the authority. The police officer to tell you to leave the room if there's, you know, a fire or something like that, and you can't, by law, question it. But when the emergency is passed, you have every right to go to that police officer and say, why did you order me to do that?
Okay.
Anyway,
I'll
that brings me to another thing is here. Religions impose our life's purpose instead of allowing the individual, ourselves, to determine our own purpose. I mean, I can't even tell you how many times I've been asked on the internet, well, if you don't
believe... Can I make a counterpoint on what you said before on the last rule?
Yeah.
Not to fill this out of order. But let's say there was a Christian caller who called in right now, and their point was, you know, there are some cases where you're allowing people to have more authority than others based on their level of expertise, or based on their particular career choices. Like, you wouldn't listen to a guy on the street who told you to take a pill, but you would give more credence to a doctor. Yeah. Or you wouldn't leave a building if someone said so, but if they're wearing a police officer uniform, you totally would listen to them and leave that building. There's just something more left on their authority alone.
Mm-hmm.
In the view of a Christian, God has the ultimate authority. God made the universe. God knows literally everything that's going to happen. He knows every subject. He knows every box of the science. So if God says do something, he should have the ultimate authority in everything that he says. Why don't we give that any kind of credence?
You mean you and I?
Yeah, like, why don't we say, like, hey, religion's based on authoritarianism, not that it's better for having rationality. But it's like, yeah, but God is the authority on everything because he made everything. So it's totally justified. There's a reason.
It's not justified. My response would be, prove it. Prove that God exists. Prove that he's the God of the Bible or the Quran or whatever. You have to prove that God is the God you're worshiping. You have to prove that the Bible was actually written for or about him. I mean, there's several literal steps in this line that you've got to fill in that they're just telling us in anecdotal language that we have to believe and take them on their authority and their expertise.
Are you saying in the event that they were able to prove that a God did exist and that he did have, he did make the entire universe or she did make the universe, whatever, would then that God have the right to tell people what to do solely based on authority?
Personally,
rationality would be more valuable.
I would think that his authority would be better based if he existed, or if we knew for a fact that the existent God had written an instruction book, and it said so in the instruction book. But there's many missing steps there, and we can't just turn our lives over to somebody who says, "Yeah, I know it for a fact. This is true." Because if you look at Christianity, you got 30,000 different sects of Christianity in America, and that's like. Not even counting Protestant versus Catholicism. And each one of those says that they know the correct interpretation of the Bible. Which one of those sects are you going to give your authority to? They are saying that they're speaking for God, or God is speaking through them. But, you know, prove it. Show me. Show me that it exists and that you have his authority.
Okay. Cool. Glad we have that kind of segment talk. I know there might be people listening who may be a little apprehensive to calling in, especially with time running out, but I want to at least see if we could get some of their viewpoints so that was one of them.
A lot of people.
I would also say, you know, as much as I value someone who has a lot of authority, I always value a rationalized answer for why I'm doing things. And I know there's emergency situations where I don't always have that answer. But if I am a God that made everything and also made not enough time to explain things to people and also command them to do it and punish them if they don't do it fast or if they don't do it barrier for certain people, no matter what they do. If I like to have irrational answers, I can't imagine a scenario why I can't have them.
Right.
And it seems like either the God has them or he doesn't have them.
Right.
And if I don't have them, then it presents pretty evident that God either doesn't exist or doesn't have a good answer to give me, because I'm generally interested in following them if I had a reasonable answer. Or if I had a justified reason to follow a God, I'd totally do it because that seems to be justified. But if God doesn't really give that to me, then that seems to be his problem, not mine.
Right. To those who are listening, I've got a bad phone connection with Ty in that he can't hear me when I'm trying to talk. If you think that he's talking over me, he's not. It's just we've got a speakerphone system where if he's talking, he can't hear me. So I have to kind of wait for him to stop. And now that he has, I will say, when I have this conversation with believers, a lot of them will ask me, well, what would it take for me to believe? I mean, what would it take? What kind of evidence would I need to believe? And I say, I don't really know, because it could be my brain malfunctioning. It could be, if God appeared to me, it could be hallucinations or auditory hallucinations or chemical imbalance. I could be going crazy. It could be aliens. I don't really know what it would take for me to believe, but God would. If he's all-knowing, God, who wants me to believe, would know what it would take for me to believe, and he has not shown me anything in that direction. Ty, we're just
about... Which only means two things.
Yeah, we're...
Right?
What?
Which only means two things.
What?
Either that God exists or doesn't have that answer. And why would you want to... And in either case, why would you want to worship the person being like that?
Well, not only that, he may want me to be an atheist. I mean, who are you to judge God if he wants me to be an atheist? We're getting close to the end of the time. Do you have any final words for our audience before we sign out?
Live your life.
Live your life. It's a good idea. Take responsibility for your life, too. Don't worry about hell. I mean, the people telling you that you're going to hell are going to hell of some other religion. Everybody's going to some other religion's hell. And we're going to sign off with Aiden. Hysteria is the name of the song. I hope you enjoy. We'll see you next week. It's 6 o'clock on WZLP 103.9 FM at the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. Thank you, Ty.
Bye.
Bye. Take care.
Justify the pain.